At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Pinken Channels. We hope this finds you safe and well. I'm Connor Southwell, and this is a very special podcast. We obviously, everyone is aware of the imminent, if not done by the time you're listening to this, appointment of Johannes Hof Forup as Norwich City's new head coach as of 3 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon. It's not quite done, but it's pretty close now. And over the last 24 hours or so, I caught up with another former Dane who formerly played for Norwich City, Steen Niedergaard, who is working in Danish football and did actually spend a significant portion of time working with Forup at FC Nordsjælland, which is the club that he's currently employed at time of recording. So this is a really insightful chat about Johannes, about his background. Worth reiterating as well that Steen is currently working at a different Danish club. He's had nothing to do in any sort of agreement or anything like that between Johannes and Norwich. I don't think he was actually that aware of the rumours until Sunday night. So this is a good chat with him. There's a little bit on the end about his memories of a 3-year spell at Norwich as well. He's a top guy. It was brilliant to catch up with him. And I started by asking him to tell us a little bit about Johannes Hof Forup. Enjoy.
So I first heard about the rumours here actually on Sunday, because I've been on a travel here. And he didn't comment on anything. So that was also why it's difficult for me to comment on anything. And I don't know if it's official now.
Yeah, it's getting there. It's getting there. I think there.
So it will happen actually.
Yes, yeah, it will happen. Yeah, the clubs are sort of talking about compensation and stuff, but I think probably expecting that in maybe the next day or two to be sort of officially confirmed.
Okay. Yeah, Johannes, of course, is. I have a picture with him and the technical director in Nordsjælland and myself. Because every year, actually, we were going to the English FA. They have a selection for the 14-15-year-old playing a tournament in the summer. We always we went together like 2-3 years with the scouting department. And Johannes was at that time, he was under 14 and he was under 15 coach in Nordsjælland. At the same time, he was the scouting coordinator for under 14 and 15. And actually a really, really good scout, actually, also. So that was part of the coaching role. Then, you know, after that, he became the under-17 coach before he then ended up being the first-team coach. Nordsjælland is a special club, as you know, youngest team in Europe.
Yeah.
When I departed a year ago, we were the youngest team in Europe, by the way. So 20 years in average age, 20.5 years in average age. Playing young players, always like introducing top talents to the first team. You have Kudus West Ham, you have Lubotka Napoli, you have Adinga Brighton, just sold Osman, 18 years old, he'll be a top player to Brighton. You have Schilderup that we took in, sold to Benfica, he was player of the season here, he was loaned back to Nordsjælland. So it's a must in Nordsjælland that you are going to use the players from the academy. That normally play 1 to 2 years younger than the other teams in Denmark. And it's very much about development. Of course, you want results, and you always get results, because Nordsjælland has been in top six, I think 13 out of the last 14 years. Even though they are selling, because many clubs, they want to have, we cannot sell, because what about next year? So the coach know the role in Nordsjælland, you know, that it's about talent development, but also like introducing young players to the first team and develop them.
Yeah.
So the same, like the players are being educated and promoted then also leaders and coaches is the same. The national team coach, Kasper Hjulmand, was in Nordsjælland many years. The technical director of the whole Ride to Dream group now, Flemming Petersen, was in Brentford. He was in Mainz in Germany. But the whole club is based on like the playing style, of course. Not the whole club, but it's like there's a playing style meeting every month, for example. So all the coaches need to be aware of the playing style, and you know, and it's an ongoing process to find new how you know De Zerbi in Brighton is doing this, Guardiola Manchester City is doing this. So all these coaches coming from Northend, you know, is being like really really well educated. So it's a little bit like if you have Nagelsmann, you have the young upcoming coaches, like in a young age already they have 10 to 15 years experience of coaching a team, and this is you know, they learned the trade you know, I was a former player, I came straight into the first division, but actually I didn't know much about, you know, playing style and all the principles and everything, but these guys are really into the stuff, you know, from an early age. So they are very well equipped when they take over, and of course Nordsjælland could have perhaps taken in Scandinavia all coaches when the Flemming Petersen when Johannes replaced him, because he wanted himself to step back into a role for the whole Ride to Dream group. You know, there's an academy in Egypt, border club San Diego, you know. And also the So to get that chance, of course, is because Nordsjælland had spotted like a top talent. And as a scout, you know, finding good players goes together with having good coaches. So I have, of course, been really close to him because he was like, many times we signed players when they were in the age of 15, 16, introduced to the under 17 team. And when he had the under 17 team, you know, the way they played football, you saw, you know, it's very fluent, offensive minded, forward minded football is what he stands for. But also his tactical qualities is, of course, already on a high level, even though he's very young still.
Yeah, and I mean that was what I was going to be asking you, because as you said there, I think people certainly from England look at Nordsjælland and all of those things that you spoke about. Very good structure, very good with young players. I mean, how much of it is the club style, and how much of it is kind of his style as a coach? If you kind of understand what I mean, how much has he been able to sort of put his own stamp onto what they do as a football club, and particularly with that playing style.
But you saw that in on the 14 team, on the 15 team he had, and you know, because the coaches are given free hand within the playing style, of course. But also, like, there's so many, you know, how you formate, how you put the players into formation, how you change during matches, you know. All the coaches, they are comfortable to play in many different styles, how you play 4-4-2, no, but they it changed constantly. Find a new position, how are the opponents doing, to adjust to that, and all the different bits. I'm not a specialist in coaching. I'm a specialist in scouting and recruiting. This is my trade. But the thing is that I was 10 years in Nordsjælland, but we saw every time we took a player into the club, he became better. So actually, as a scout, you can find the good players, but if you don't have the environment, you don't have the culture, you don't have the methodics and the playing style to improve the players, you can find good players, but they will never be a success. So it was easy to be a scout, actually, in Nordsjælland, because you know, the club has sold a lot of players for many years, and they always invested in the infrastructure, more psychologists, like more school teachers, more physical coaches, more all this stuff. Nordsjælland has invested, innovative club, for many, many years. You see Östersund under Graham Potter do well in one season, two seasons. Then you see Kalmar, Henrik Rydström, doing well. He's in Malmö now. one season, two season. But Nordsjælland has managed, of course, for many, many years to keep in the top league of Danish football. In the same time, they are selling players, but also with a slightly minor budget than FC Copenhagen, Brøndby and the others. But also they have not been afraid of promoting young players and young coaches. So the thing is, of course, then the next thing is the personality. He's always like, you know, smiling, but very ambitious also. So he has this really good, like you know, I can tell one thing, like, because they played in Europa League. They beat Fenerbahce 7-1.
Yes, yeah.
Big team. Partizan 5-0. Partizan Beograd after I resigned from the club. We were invited, my wife and my two daughters and me. They're 21 and 25. We were invited to the match. And I know Johannes for many years in the club, of course. But then there was a sponsor arrangement before the match, and it was an important game, of course, and he was like a young coach still, 34, 35. But I just noticed the steps he has taken already, like coming down, you know, being calm, being comfortable in the whole circus it is to be the head coach, where you have to send signals everywhere. And of course... you know, because coaches change when they have the responsibility, because more pressure, they start to protect themselves. But he was so easygoing still, which speaks of a huge talent also on the personal side, of course.
Yeah, and how important is that going to be? Because, and you've done it, you know, as a player, and I appreciate it's probably different doing it as a coach going from Denmark to England, but you'll be familiar with what that's like as a step. I'm sure, you know, having that mentality and all of those aspects that you spoke about is really important to making that adjustment and making that move sort of work.
The thing is, it's always easier to take one who has like 20 years experience. So it's a brave choice, of course, but sometimes if you wait too long, of course, these kind of talents can also suddenly, you know, it can be too late, because then somebody else does it. Of course, Norris is a what can I say, a huge club, fantastic fan base, and it will be, but I think it will be a perfect step. Nordsjælland is not to be underrated, because it's a club where they have top people in every role in the club, and they will, if they don't see the right playing style in the first team, they would immediately, what is happening, we cannot recognize Nordsjælland or something like this. It's a team that plays really offensive football. It's a team that wants to play a quick football game, but it's also a game that where they are, you know, passing side, deep runs, like a little bit like Liverpool style, I would say, if you can compare it. So if the team don't have the right stamp on it, you know, it's that's very important for the club. And in the period that Johannes has been in charge, of course, they were in Europa for the first time for some years, which takes a lot out of a young squad to play both in Europe and play in the league. And he managed to balance that fantastically, I think. Actually, I think they were very narrow of becoming champions. They were very narrow, I think, 5 minutes from progressing into the next rounds of Europa, and I think they deserved it. But also, of course, it's a young club still. So compared to a few of the others, they lack some experience in these kind of games. And also, if you sell your best players all the time and you promote the next ones, but slowly over the years, the talent pool is getting bigger. And with Egypt and Ghana and USA coming up also, then, you know, we have taken, while I was there, like top talents in Scandinavia. So many clubs has seen Nordsjælland as a fantastic academy, because playing time is crucial. But to be a coach for the first team, of course, you're the mirror of the club. Mm-hmm. And Hannes has taken that extremely well and emerged into like in a situation where clubs like big clubs and fantastic clubs like Norwich are after him. So that's only credit to him. But it's also credit to Norton, of course, for not being afraid of promoting a young talent. But of course, they spotted the talent within the academy, where he was like under 14, 15, 17. So he's one of these new, what can I say, coaches who are so sure of the playing style and the way they want to play and how to change things during matches and comfortable in all this. So on the tactical aspect, he will be top, a top talent.
I mean, you, like you say, you've known him for a while. He's very ambitious. Did you always expect that he'd want to come to England, that he'd want to challenge himself outside of Denmark? I think we're seeing a lot of sort of Danish coaches in the Bundesliga at the moment, aren't we? So has it come as a surprise to you maybe that he does want to go to England and sort of test
confidently himself? Confidently. It's yes, Torup Augsburg and Bo Henriks. There's my two friends from Odense. I was in the squad with them when we beat Real Madrid back in time. And Brian Riemer, I was coach with. He's an Anderlecht. Thomas Frank, of course. Yeah. So all this at the moment is being noticed abroad, that, you know, but I think it's actually a longer discussion. But I think the last 10, 15 years you have in Denmark, like in cooperation with the Football Association, you have a program where you need to invest in your academy. You need to invest in full-time employees around the different facilities and everything. And you're being measured every year. So you have to live up to the standards. And the cooperation between the Danish Football Association and the clubs has been fantastic. So I think actually the level here in the Danish Superliga has never been higher. And it's it's Copenhagen. I think they lost to Manchester City in the last, but they went quite far in the Champions League. Midtjylland has done well in Europe. Nordsjælland this year did well. My new club AGF was being knocked out by Club Brugge in Europe also. So it's like an ongoing process where good work has been delivered for a long time. And 10, 20 years ago, there was not a lot of Danish coaches out there. But now I think they're gaining a better reputation. And I think it's because the coaching education here in Denmark, the sharing of knowledge within the system, it's on a quite high level, like you have seen, like watching France youth teams, England young national teams that I have been followed. I remember watching 2003 England, Harvey Elliott, Musiala, Bellingham, etc., Luis Barry in Cheringa Cup 2019. So the strategy of the clubs and the organizations has really been taken to a high level. And that means, you know, there's a lot of qualified coaches. And and of course, right now you see like Johannes Hoff Torup, Næstrup in FC Copenhagen. There's some rising stars and foreign leagues notice that, I think.
And what do you think the challenges will be for him moving from Denmark to England, to Norwich, the Championship, different sort of league and different sort of kind of profile? What do you think the biggest challenges are going to be for him as a young coach?
I think every success is about, you know, having the backing and being like a team and don't evaluate it week in, week out if you win or lose. Of course, the challenge will be that I know Norwich has a fantastic fan base, very loyal. Always was my feeling when I was there, of course. So they are always behind the team, and there's only one club in the city. And but of course, it's you saw Thomas Frank when he first came to Brentford. Confidently, oh, no, not confidently, but I can say, but Thomas Frank, when he first came to Brentford,
yeah,
he was finding it really hard the first 10-20 matches. Mm-hmm. But they kept believing in him, and in the end he has managed to do miracles, I think, with Brentford, and he's linked to bigger things now. So it's the same thing, but I guess that the board of Norwich, the one that has taken him in, they are aware of all this, that it's not like going to be they have started a new project and they need to back it, of course, and they will get like a player, a coach, very ambitious, top person, talented, outgoing, and he has the whole packet as a personality. But of course, it's a different scenario to be in the Championship, where also results matters a little bit more than, of course. But he's very result orientated, actually, and he wants to win matches. Mm-hmm. Where I have seen, so in that regard, I think he will take the step up.
In terms of, and like you say, I know you're a scout, you're not a coach specialist, but I'm sure you've worked with a lot of scouts. But is he one of the best ones that you've worked with, or one that you feel has sort of the best potential to be a really high level coach? How would you kind of assess his abilities as someone that you've known for a period of time, as you say, going back into sort of academy football?
Yes, he's a huge talent. Like I said, when he was in charge of the under 17 team, he was the young, and actually he had a former first team player, Bayern Fetai. Big personality, very good at dealing with different personalities in the group, and he was the older player, the experienced one, fantastic personality. And Johannes was coming in as the head coach, mm-hmm. in a very young age, even for the under 17, which is a high level here in Nordland. You know, you have top talent from Scandinavia, you have players that catches interest from Liverpool and Manchester City and Barcelona and these kind of clubs, and you have to come in a young age and handle that with agents also signing the players. Mm-hmm. And the way he navigated in that, because he also have... I was once a coach, and I was told that I had a lot of praise when I ended up going another direction, and the biggest boss in the club, Vidor, where I was head coach, he said, "But one thing you need to work on is to be more cynical." Mm-hmm. And I said, "Okay, I can live with that," because but actually that's also part of it, because you have to make clear decisions sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think he's able to do that also, that he's not, you know, getting carried away about things, and he's also very strict of taking the decisions there.
It's interesting, you know, you've spoken about young players and playing style. Do you think those are going to be things that he looks to bring in at Norwich? There's been a lot of criticism maybe of Norwich more generally, because they've been a club, as I'm sure you know, that have been very focused on young players, and in the last year or so they've moved away from that. Do you think he will go back to trying to bed in young players, and obviously that playing
style?
No, well.
But he has been very good handling older characters. Mm-hmm. I think actually the team has gotten a little bit older under Johannes since he took over. Mm-hmm. So it's not only like playing the young players. So he's also very good handling the experienced leaders in the group. And that's very important also. He had like in Nordsjælland 4 or 5, Ingvartsen came from Mainz. They had Kian Hansen, the captain. They had Tversgaard, they signed 30 years old, and the keeper, Andreas Hansen. Mm-hmm. Martin Frese, left back. So they had 4 or 5 with experience in the group, because it's also important to have some of these to lead the young players. And he has shown also that he was very good dealing with that also. It's not easy in a club like Nordsjælland, because you have actually so many talents coming through all the time, and there'll always be a demand of playing them. Mm-hmm. But it's also like a fine line all the time. And remember, every year, half year, they sold Osman, mm-hmm. 20 million euros to Brighton now. They sold Sheldorp, 20 million euros to Benfica. They sold. And this is happening like every half year in that club. Yeah. So you have to recoup, you have to be sharp all the time of the environment, of course, because if you lose your most influential players every half or every year, you need to be able to build all the time. But he has shown actually in Nordsjælland that he could balance both the younger players and the experienced one in the group. So, and for me, it's like as an older player, and you still deliver. It's important also with the respect, of course.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And just finally, I mean, I wanted to ask you about sort of Norwich and obviously your memories of it. You obviously played for the club. It's a club that you know well. How fondly do you look back on your spell in England and your spell with Norwich? I know obviously the fans still think of you very highly, and I think, you know, you mentioned it right at the start. You're one, I think, of seven Danes to have played for Norwich. You've got Jakob Sørensen at the club at the moment. So I mean, your memories of being at Norwich City and how fond a spell that was in sort of your career as a player, of course.
No, but that was of course like almost unexplainable, because it's it came, you know, the 90s was a little bit different. Many Norwich fans might know that, but I was a part of a team in Odense that was knocking out Real Madrid in 94, reached the quarterfinal in Europe. We played against Arsenal and Highbury 1-1, and we played the beat the German champion, Kaiserslautern. So there was a high level at that time also we played. But it was not like now, where you go out when you're 18, 19, very early age. So I ended up staying a lot for, staying many years for my hometown club, Odense, who was actually relegated in the weekend here, which is really strange to see. Yeah, so I ended up playing many, many years there. And then when I finally, 97, you know, broke into the national team, like a few matches there, then I had a knee injury and was and at that time I decided, you know, when I came back, now it's time to try something, to go out. And I had, throughout the time, had interest from English clubs. And then for me it was a dream club coming up when Norwich came in, just what I looked for, and it lived up to everything. Tough one to lose in penalty. To be promoted to the Premier League, I played 45 matches, and I was in the hospital with an infected wound from a match. And then I think the season after, we were number one in the championship. Mm-hmm. But I had to make a decision, a family decision, to go back because of. So I had three fantastic years, but I often, thought about, you know, it would have been fantastic if I had arrived like 97, that's 3 years before, and had 6-7 years there. Mm-hmm. And for me, you know, I could have stayed in that club for 6-7 years. I didn't need anything else than that. For me, it was, of course, a dream time. I just wish I had 2-3 years more there.
Yeah, I'm sure. And yeah, like I say, I know you're remembered very fondly by Norwich fans. So, yeah, it's as you say, a shame that you obviously had to take the decision that you did at the time. But of course, we all have to do that for family, don't we?
It was three fantastic years, and then you will only, you know, have the good memories. And it's strange because I try to keep up with. I have some former teamers like Craig Fleming, Malky Mackay, Matt Jackson. Many of them I kept up with as good as possible. Norwich, of course, a lot of changes the last year. So in the start, Val Lemon and Kevin Platt and many in the club was very good. But of course, I don't have so much contact with anyone the last 10 years, I think. Yeah. So it's nice actually to hear something again.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
My name is Amanda. I work with women who are trying to quit smoking. And I have some tips for you in case you're pregnant or thinking about having a baby. First thing is, keep trying to quit. Or better yet, don't start smoking. It can cause premature birth, which can then increase the risk of your baby having developmental delays, problems with eyesight, breathing, and more. So don't give up. There are people like me who are here to support you, because I know what can happen if you don't quit. Your baby could be born 2 months early and weigh only 3 pounds. She could be in the NICU for almost a month, put in an incubator and fed through a feeding tube that goes through her nose down into her little stomach. I know that because I smoked while I was pregnant, and that's what happened to my little baby. I quit. You can too.
Quit your way. Call 1-877-YOU-CAN-NOW or visit tobaccofreeflorida.com. developed by CDC.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.